Thank you, Father, for your welcome back to a house of worship. It's good to be up and out on that nice morning, isn't it? And we have a lot to be thankful for. The very fact that we're here, having braved the storms of the past, we are trusting for the good hand of God. There's an old song that I was finding there recently. Had heard it years ago and I had lost it, and I found it again, and it was to do with the unseen hand, guided by the unseen hand. And that is something to me, it's very precious that there's a hand there guiding us and protecting us. So good to be together. I feel a bit rusty, having done very much preaching over the past year, but we're getting back there again now. And this evening, we'll be ministering in Collibaggy, if you know that part of the country over there. And our thoughts are with your minister who you see ministering there in Newton Ards today. Or Ballinahinch, rather. And John in the book of the Revelation is lifting our eyes heavenwards. And I think that is the direction we need to keep looking in, isn't it? The upward look. And he says, they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth." Bless the Lord, who was slain and has redeemed us to God. What a wonderful thought and what a wonderful message God has given us to deliver. So it's good that the song of the redeemed has continued through COVID-19, and that song has not been silenced, and the COVID cannot silence it, never will silence it. And bless God, friends, we're going to outlive the virus. It doesn't matter how long it hangs about, the people of God's going to outlive it, and we'll be singing when it's no more on earth. So we're in the Psalm 138b, singing 1 to 5, and the tune is 150, St. Magnus. 138b, and here is the spirit of the psalmist. It's not half-hearted, it's so fully hearted. And he says, "Thee will I praise with all my heart. I will sing praise to thee before the gods, and worship will toward thy sanctuary. I'll praise thy name even for thy truth and kindness of thy love, for thy word has magnified all thy great name above. Thou didst me answer in the day when I to thee did cry, and thou my fainting soul with strength did strengthen inwardly." It's precious, isn't it? And you talk to people, and you talk to God's people, and they're able to tell you of answers to prayer, and experience what the psalmist experienced when he said, "Thou didst me answer in the day when I to thee did cry." And we are comforted, aren't we, to know that he is the very same today as he ever was. So we're going to unite our hearts in song in the Psalm 138, 1-5. Thee will I praise with all my heart. Father, because that you have invited us to come. And we thank you, Lord, that in these days and past years, it has been our comfort and our privilege to draw nigh to your throne of grace. And we thank you, Lord, for the many times you have inclined your ear unto our prayer. And we know, Lord, that at times that we didn't really believe for the answer. And yet we thank you, Lord, that your word reminding us that though we believe not, yet you remain faithful. And we thank you, Lord, that despite of what we are and who we are, that our cry has been heard, and we rejoice in the knowledge, Lord, that you have revealed yourself to us in your dear Son. We thank you for him who was willing to be wounded for our transgressions and to be bruised for our iniquities. We thank you and we worship you this morning. We bow in your presence. We thank you together, Lord, that we are not bowing to other gods today. And Father, we know we could have been born in a part of the world where we would have known no other gods but gods of stick and stone. And as we bow before you this morning, we rejoice together, and we have been privileged, Lord, privileged to hear and to know, to learn and to understand the old story of redeeming love. We give you praise, Father, for those who have gone before us, those who were your people, those who have been gathered, Lord, into that heavenly fold, and those whose prayers and thoughts and love, Lord, still remains precious in our memories. And we thank you that we've had a goodly heritage, and the lines have been fallen out to us in pleasant places. We give you praise today, Father, for the bonds that bind us together as families. We thank you for your great purpose, Lord, in creation, and how in your will, Lord, you laid it out that there would be fathers and mothers and sons and daughters and loved ones and dear ones and bonds that would bind us at when we would be at home and when we would be far from home. And we come today with thanksgiving, Lord, for our homes and our dear ones, and those, Lord, who are precious to us and have been precious to us. We thank you for the fact that we still hear the voice and prayer of those that spoke to us and prayed for us, Lord, when we were very young and very tender. We give you praise, Lord, for enabling us, even through the help of others, who enabled us to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. And we bless you, loving Lord, for your people here this morning, and for the many years of Christian experience that could be spoken of, and many stories could be told of the goodness and mercy of God that has followed them. And we bless you, loving Father, for those who have ministered your word in this pulpit down through the years, and those who have stood by them, Father, and encouraged them. And we thank you for those who were blessed here and who are ministered to here, who have gone further afield and who are carrying the flag of the gospel and sounding the trumpet. And we pray, Lord, that in these difficult days that you'll help us, Lord, to keep focused on that that really matters. And grant, O God, that we will move in peace and in gladness into the days ahead in your will, that, loving Lord, we may rejoice together in the knowledge that God is building his church and that we are privileged to be part of it. We pray this morning, Lord, for the pastor of the congregation here, our brother Stephen, that you will minister to him today as he ministers this morning and this evening, Father. Grant to him, Lord, a double portion of thy spirit, and that, Lord, there will be those who would rise up even in days to come and thank God that he was ministering today in Balnahinch. Father, we pray for our doctors, our nurses, Lord, our carers, the many who are involved, Lord, in the ministry of the good work. And we pray, Lord, that they may be strengthened and helped and encouraged and inspired. And those, Lord, who are seeking to lead and to guide will know that leading. And we pray for our province, Lord. And we pray for those, Father, who are wise enough to help us in the right direction. And we pray, Lord, that you will stay the hand of the avenger and grant, Lord, that your name will be honored and that the good work of the kingdom of God will never be stopped or hindered because you are King who leads the way. So we thank you today, Father. Pray for our homes and loved ones. For those known to us, Lord, who are ill, come to them with that touch, Lord, the healing touch of Jesus. And grant, Lord, that even through trials and troubles, that they may be drawn closer to you. And we pray for those, Lord, who may be contemplating ending their days. Father, we know it's so happening so much in our land nowadays, and there in the city of Belfast, Lord, we ask in your name that you may give people an understanding of what life is really about and how precious it is, and there's an eternity that lies before us. So we worship you today, Lord, and pray you lead us out and lead us on and keep us in the joy of the gospel, Father. As your word has told us, you know, we will be led forth with joy and with peace. In thy great name, Lord, we thank you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I want to read the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah, as you know yourself, is a great book. And there's so much in it that can help us along the way. Prophet Isaiah, and at the chapter 55. Coming with great promises to us. What he has for us. He reminds us. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Won't see that sign in many shop windows, will you? Just come, and it's without money and without price. But this is a whole different a commitment from Almighty God to people like us. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, that shall not be cut off. We thank God for His Word. It's nice, isn't it, in the quietness of a nice morning like this, to come into this sanctuary and to open the Bible and to read truths like that that come to us with great comfort. So very different to the world, isn't it? And what the world is trying to offer to people, to try to entertain them and give them something to think about and to talk about and to live for. It's a different world we are, in that sense, that we, the people of God, are living in. That we're not living for this world. It's not our home. We are different. Every time I read those words there that we read just now, ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. You know, I remember sitting in a home in a village in the Highlands of Scotland, and a lady there was doing something that I didn't expect her to do, because the denomination that she belonged to weren't just like what this woman was like, and they were kept very quiet about their salvation. And some of them, dear people, you know, they were the Lord's all right, but they were quiet about it. But this dear woman she got wonderfully saved in the church service. And when she told me, when I was coming home, I was coming down the road, she says, and she says, I felt that the very trees were clapping their hands because of my salvation. And that's what we read here, and that's what we read. Even nature itself could be singing and rejoicing just because there's been an odd, real deep link between earth and heaven in the salvation of a sinner. So may this be what will characterize us this week when he says, ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Something that we know that we can't buy, that nobody can give us, can't be God. Everybody today is, or a lot of people, you know, if you can't find it, you'll get it on Amazon. You can Google it. If it's on the face of the earth, you can find it some way or another. But not what makes the difference to our lives and that which is good. Bless the Lord. If you want a title for our little meditation this morning, you might call it Heart to Heart Talk. For we want to talk about our hearts this morning. So what about you? What about your heart? Very important part of it, isn't it? And You know, it's a long time ago now since God, through the prophet Isaiah, speaking of the spiritual decline in Judah and how far that they had drifted from God's standard. And he spoke to them very solemnly and soberly and bluntly, you might say. And he said to them, your hearts are above all things desperately wicked. Now, he was speaking truth, which was not accepted by many in his day. And yet, as a young prophet, he was called upon to proclaim a message really wasn't wanted. Doesn't differ that far from the day we live in. Your hearts are above all things sinful and desperately wicked. It's a solemn thought, friends, and it's not a pleasant thought, but that this is the heart condition of every unconverted man or woman and must be faced. If there's going to be that beautiful change that only God can bring about. And he has done it. And the evidence are in this sanctuary this morning. And we thank God for the possibility today, before this day is through. And as the pastor ministers today in Ballinahinch, only the good Lord knows whose hearts might be changed. Because this is the evidence of the grace of God, the changed heart. You know, It's precious, and it's miraculous, and we've seen it, and we rejoice in it. So what sort of a heart do you feel that you have today? I hope if there's anybody here this morning who comes under that category, your heart's above, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Boy's a dear to tell some people in churches that that's the situation. You've had it. No ear for that, no desire for that. That's out. But it's not out as far as Bible-believing Christians are concerned. It's true, and it's true of me. True of my heart. I had to get a change of heart. My father-in-law was a wee bit of a comedian at times, but he was a good witness, good man at witnessing for the Lord. And he an occasion to be in the hospital yonder in the town of Stornoway in the Isle of Lewis. And another man came into the ward. My father-in-law asked him, he says, "Why, what's your complaint? Why are you here?" He says, "I'm hoping to get a new heart." My father-in-law said to him, "Well, look, sir, I can tell you about a man who gave me a new heart. His name is Jesus. He give you a new heart. And only he can do it." So we have got a sinful heart, and then, friend, we can have a hard heart. Hard heart. I was working with a minister some time ago. He says, I've been in this church for 25 years preaching. I've seen a lot of people saved, a lot of people came to Christ. Been great joy and thanksgiving unto the Lord. But he says, there were unconverted people sitting in this church when I came here 25 years ago, and they're still here, faithful every Sunday, but they're making no response to the gospel. Why? Hardness of heart. And my people, there's a hardness today, and there's a hardness amongst people, and Christian people have to be careful, or they can get hard as well, because of the hard. Even the children today on the playgrounds of the school, there's a hardness there that wouldn't have been there 30, 40, 50 years ago. Hard attitudes. We can have a hard heart. And that's nothing new. In the scriptures telling us there in Ezekiel, in the book of Ezekiel, he's reminding the people there of how hard their hearts were. And he said to them, I will give you a new heart, and I will take away the stony heart and give you a new heart. And that's what he was saying, and how the people could only be changed with a new heart. He says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. Hallelujah. Praise God, friend. It's possible for us sinners, sin-stained, it's possible for the efficacy of the precious blood of Christ to make us clean. And that we can stand not in our own holiness or righteousness, but in the righteousness of Christ before God the Father. That's how he sees us. We don't see ourselves as clean, but he sees us through the cleansing blood of the Lamb. And he said to them there in Ezekiel, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from your idols. Will I cleanse you? My friends, it would be a wonderful day if this was to sweep across our filthiness and idols. A new heart also will I give you. A new heart. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk on my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgment. I will take away the stony heart and give you a new heart. What does he say? I'm going to so work upon you by my Spirit's power, you're going to be changed. You're going to be changed. Bringing you to the place that the apostle came to when he said, didn't he? If a man is in Christ, he's a new man. He's not patched up. Remember years ago when you drove worse cars than you drive nowadays, and you got a bang in the side of it or somewhere rust breaking out, and then you went away and you got a pot of eyes upon and stuff like that and mixed it up and made it into a putty kind of thing, and you filled a hole. And if it was bad enough, maybe you had to do something more major even. But God doesn't do things like that. And God never half converts any man or woman. He never does things by half. Any man be in Christ, he's not half a Christian. is a whole Christian. He is a new creation. Praise his name. You can have a sinful heart. You can have a hard heart. And as the scripture says, today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. You can have a holy heart, and you are well acquainted with your Psalms and with the Psalm 51. And when David realized his sin and his need of cleansing, remember what he said. Lord, he says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. How lovely those words in that psalm, which says, do thou with hyssop sprinkle me, I shall be cleansed so. Yea, wash thou me, and then I shall be whiter than the snow. Hallelujah. Whiter than the snow. Oh, he is, he's receiving the beautiful blessings of cleansing and holiness from God. He's got a desire, a deep desire for that. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And then, friends, you can have another sort of a heart. You can have a heavy heart. And you could be sitting in the church with us this morning, and maybe it has been a bit of a struggle for you to get up today and to come here. And you'll speak to others, maybe the way out of the church and so on, and they don't know your burden. And maybe there's nobody knows your burden. Because sometimes the heaviest burdens are burdens that you can't share with anybody. Only the Lord. Heavy heart. And when you go to the Psalms 42 and 43, the psalmist had a heavy heart. And he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Is it five or six times he asks the same question? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? But he's not getting an answer why. And this is why he goes on asking. But God is not obliged to answer our cries unless it's in his own good will and purpose. Job was like that. Job asked a lot of questions, but he wasn't getting any answers from God until God was pleased to talk to him. Why art thou cast? Here's a man with a heavy heart. But you see, the bit about it is, he was still talking to God. For he says, Lord, why art thou, why is my soul cast down? Why? He's still looking for answers, because he still knows that God is there, but he doesn't feel it at that time. Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise. You remember going to a church service in the town of Stornoway many years ago. It was a It was a watch night service. And the minister in the pulpit, he was a good sort of a man, but he wasn't a great preacher. But anyhow, that he came in that night and he read the scriptures, and that's the psalm he was reading. And those words always stayed with me. Like what the psalmist said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him." You could be here this morning with a heavy heart. And it may have been with you for some time. But the psalmist, you know what he was saying there? "Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him." He's given himself time. And he's given God time. In order that in the will of God, in that time, you know, some people, you could say to a person who's cast down, maybe they're a bit depressed, maybe they're bearing a burden, "Oh, pull yourself together." And you could quote 3 or 4 verses of scripture to them and say, "All things work together for good. Pull yourself together, it'll be all right." It doesn't work that way. It may take a period of time. A heavy heart. Look at the great man, Elijah. And he runs away from a heathen woman. And he sits down under a tree. And what does he say? "Lord, take away my life. I'm no better than my fathers." And he's a great man. He's a great prophet. He's been a great honor to God. He's done wonderful things in the Lord's name. But now here he's under a tree and he says, "Lord, take away my life." But you'll notice again that even when he's using that language, he's still talking to God. With a heavy heart. But the Lord loves his people. He cares for them. He's the good shepherd. He's laid down his life for the sheep. And he'll never forsake them. Even when their hearts are heavy and their burdens may be many. He says, "I will never leave you. Your sickness may not leave you. Your cancer may not leave you. The worst things that could happen to you in this world may not leave you." But he says, "I will not leave you." Doesn't matter. Even the dear woman or man up in that hospital this morning who's wrecked with pain, the great physician is still there. And he'll accomplish his will for his people by bringing about their eternal wholeness and health forever. Heavy heart. You can have an open heart. And Paul went preaching down there by the riverside in Acts chapter 16. There's a wee woman down there, and the Bible says the Lord opened her heart to receive Christ. Opened her heart. Look, dear, have you ever opened your heart to the Lord? Have you? Have you now? Have you? Have you ever opened the door and received the friend of sinners? Say, "Lord, come in. Come. Take the throne of my heart and my life." Well, thank God he's here today. Then, friends, there's a comfort in hearts. John 14 said to the little group as he's leaving them, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." He knows the world they're facing. He knows what they're up against. He knows what the road ahead will be. But he says, "Don't be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come again." And I'm quite sure, friends, I'm quite sure. I was talking to a man last night about a friend that he had in Romania, a pastor. I said to him, "Do you miss that friend?" He says, "There's never one day that I don't think about him." That dear pastor's in heaven now. And I'm quite sure there never was a day from the day that Jesus left the little group and went to heaven. I'm sure there never was a day in the life of any of those that followed him we didn't think about him and think about being with him in the glory. And that's the way you would think too about anyone who's dear to your heart. Comforted heart. So how's your heart today, my dear? How's your heart? I trust that your heart will be a comforted heart because he's with us. Whatever our cares, whatever is the road ahead, he's with us. We're going to unite our hearts in song in the Psalm 46 it is. Singing from the beginning to the end of verse 6 in the tune is 103 Carson. 46. God is our refuge and our strength in trouble, a sure aid. Therefore, although the earth shall move, we will not be afraid. Psalm 46, verses 1 to 6. Thank you.
Amen.
Let us pray then, folks. Father, we thank you for words like these that have been given to us in your will and from yourself. And we pray, Lord, that we may take your word with us, and through the ups and downs of the journey of life, that they may come to us with strengthening us and comforting us and guiding us, Lord, by day and by night. And for any with us this morning who are maybe bearing heavy burdens, and those known to us, Lord, who maybe are going through times of great difficulty, trial, we ask, O God, that you may have wisdom, that they may pray and pray and pray again. So we leave ourselves in your care and pray, Lord, as we go to our homes today, your peace and presence will go with us. And grant, Lord, that in these lovely long days, summer, that we may rejoice together, surrounded every day by the works of God's hands, creation and nature, the beautiful things of life. Help us to dwell upon that that is good. And so we ask, loving Lord, that you will now part us in your blessing, and may the Lord of glory be ever with us. May your unfailing, unending grace and love fill our hearts and lives till the day is done. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. God bless you. And keep us in his will and in his way. We look forward to get rid of these things that we carry on our faces. You know, when we used to work with the horses in my young days, you put a nose bag on them, feed them. Amen.